they call us silverbacks. And to them, they have always been looking for ways on how to take this city back. So many think that Katrina did what the government didn't do or couldn't do. Nobody had to leave New Orleans. Even with the flooding, nobody had to leave. Algiers didn't flood. Algiers, just this community, is bigger than San Francisco. Alright, so if you have 700,000 people living in San Francisco, and it's only 7 by 7 square miles, and Algiers, it equates 49 square miles, and Algiers is almost 80 square miles. We could have put just about, and we're only talking about 150,000 people, but we could have kept everyone right here, if that was what we wanted to do. We had, 20 schools over here that could have housed people. And we only talking about Algiers. Gretna, the parish right next to us, wouldn't allow blacks in it. If we was all escaping the flooding together, when we would have got to Gretna, only y'all would have been able to go into Gretna. I would have been turned around and told to go back into New Orleans.
Wow.
This happened in America. You don't hear nobody saying anything. And we have a so-called black man. You don't hear him saying it. It's documented. 60 Minutes did a documentary on it. You know what I'm saying? Vigilantes here. Like I said, the only reason why Common Ground was founded is because of confrontation I had with vigilantes. If I wouldn't have walked around that corner to see that what Reggie was saying was true, I wouldn't have found Common Ground. Then if this elderly white lady wouldn't have came out on her porch, it wouldn't have been a Common Ground because I would be dead. I would be maybe that 39th person they killed. And I would. I do something on a daily basis that the average person they don't even know how to experience. Every day I see these same vigilantes. That came from the ones who stayed. And the Klansmen that came in from all throughout Louisiana call themselves protecting white homes, white women from black men coming in there raping all the women. That's what they say.
Well, we saw in the DVD, Welcome to Nolan, one of the guys in there, he was saying, if you had to shoot somebody, you had to shoot somebody. We saw him down there yesterday.
He was down the jazz in the park.
Oh yeah, I mean, I see him every day because I live here. And believe it or not, I've been living in this community longer than most of them. You know, but I couldn't, I remember one time, I used to have to keep a revolver right here at my back door, one at my front door, and I had two pump shotguns I used to have to keep in my home. I did that for at least all the way until General Honoré. Really the one who brought order to this city. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not one that is naive to violence. I have been in shootouts with the police. I have served time on death row. I have been in prison riots. I have been in everything from knife fights to shootouts. And nothing prepared me for what I experienced doing at the train. No one could have told me that this type of situation could happen in America. And that it would be legal.
So how long was it After Katrina, when the general came and put the order back in, how long was that?
Maybe about 2.5 weeks. A little long.
It took Amy Goodman to make them pick up the bodies. If Amy Goodman wouldn't have came down here and exposed it, they wouldn't have picked them up. And the reason why I'm saying this, the day after her show was broadcast, they picked up everybody. Everybody. Now, I know that they killed 19 people because of the 19 bodies that we documented. It was just so sorry that we didn't have a camera.
They were shot down
by these vigilantes. Not only here, but we're just trying to make it seem like those vigilantes was only operating in Algiers. But there was, and especially Algiers Park. No, it was only exposed over here. But we seeing those bodies in the Bywater. We seeing them in Carrollton. We seeing them in the Garden area. You know, we seeing them in the downtown area. You know, and we seeing them over here. You know, so, you know, we saw this and we seeing how it was so easy to demonize us as all being criminal, because the majority of those who stayed in this city and did the rescues in the aftermath of Katrina was basically ex-offenders. You know? And Algiers, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it wasn't 100 homes. Out of, and this is a community that in pre-Katrina had a population of about 71,000. I don't think it was 100 homes that was looted. Simply because of the fact of how people made sure that no homes was broken in. And those who was making sure, this was all ex-offenders. I know some that did it at rescued as many as 300 people. And right now, can't even find a job. You know, ever since slavery, Algiers has been known for construction among African Americans. Everybody did construction work. After the hurricane, right before the hurricane, all of us got together and started putting all our tools high enough that if we survive, then we could go back to work. He wasn't even offered a job. Right now, in the midst of this construction boom, with $1 billion worth of construction work going on in Algiers alone, unemployment here among African Americans is almost 30%. The average income of African American in the world is half that of white. Sharon Johnson, who was one of the co-founders of Tamla Brown, can't even find a job. One of the reasons that broke us up. Can't find us in Florida. She's still volunteering basically to work at the health plant. But she can't find a job. In the midst of a city that's in a construction boom. You know? If she, as the founder of an organization that has served more people than any other organization in the history of this nation, in a shorter period of time than which we've been in existence, can't even find a job. Almost got evicted out of our apartment because she couldn't come up with $600. So right now, with the work that I'm doing with these ex-offenders, I'm working them 3 hours a day. And I have hundreds that want to work those 3 hours for $7. They're only making $21. Would you work for $21 a day for 3 hours? I mean, look, how can you live off of that? Absolutely. We have individuals that have to do this. Because here, when you come out of prison, they give you nothing. And you got to pay $52 a month to be on parole.
Really?
Yeah. They call it a parole supervision fee. You miss three payments, you go back to prison.
Back to your joint.
So they don't want you out in the first place, because you're more used to them in prison where they make money from you, you know, in the prison company.
Well, see, the Constitution never abolished slavery, you know? So as long as you have been duly convicted of a felony, you have a right to enslave.
Right. How can private system ever work? You know, you put it out to companies who want to make money off of you, they're not interested in justice.
Well, you know, that's a Fortune 500. You know, prisons is what bankrupt California. Prisons is one of the things that is bankrupt in this nation.
So
you take non-violent offenders, put them in the most violent environment, punishing them. Not trying to rehabilitate them, but punishing them. And they expect them to come out to be non-violent.
Right.
The only thing we're doing, we're putting them in an environment where we turn dogs into wolves.
Right.
We make them out of wolves. We make them out of that monster. You know? And then we get so frightened, you know, but we create them.
Instead of giving these men jobs, instead of trying to turn them around, we put them basically in a situation.
In a no-win situation.
Right. Right. It's a crime. What they're doing here in America.
But we don't, you know, we reap what you sow.
Look at us. Look at the door. Look at the door we're knocking on right now. Now look at where this nation is. If we don't get it together, we're facing a lot more than just a failing economy.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, we're at danger of losing, of destroying life as we know it. The rest of the world was as wasteful as we are. We would need at least about five planets. Since we don't have five planets, how can you tell these new emerging superpowers that they've got to live, their people got to live a substandard life? How can you tell China and India not to pollute by using fossil fuel and coal? How can you tell them that it's wrong and how harmful it is to the environment when we have been doing it for centuries?
Well, Hillary Clinton said when she was in India, you know, we made our mistakes when we were in our industrial revolution. You want to learn from our mistakes. They're not mistakes. America and Britain, they chose to pollute to get ahead. And now they want to keep everybody else behind them.
I mean, we got to remember, we're still the same superpowers that is telling the rest of the world it's all right that we have weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah,
you just can't have them.
Yeah. We won't use them against anybody.
But why do you have them?
Uh-huh.
We can get mad and everybody's all upside up with our rhymes from trying to get one nuclear weapon. But look how many we have. And we are doing something more diabolical than any other nation. And we don't even give a damn if we destroy our own.
Well, there's been 13 countries have now signed up to be carbon neutral, no footprint by 2020.
America is not one of them.
They're nowhere near it. Yeah, maybe on the list. Pakistan. Yeah.
Well,
Norway, Iceland, Costa Rica, New Zealand.
I'm going to tell you, remember the Green Party. A dear friend of mine in Los Angeles named Michael Feinstein.
Did you understand?
Michael hooked me up with a person named Ali.
Okay. All right, so you guys are going to be all right?
He came and stayed
out there.
Yeah,
they told us.
Yeah. You know, he told us what they're going to do. And here you have a city with 35 million people. One city, 35 million people. So they got to look for it. But we gonna become this too. You know, I mean, in the aftermath of Katrina, we had to dispose of 300,000 refrigerators, almost 200,000 freezers, almost a million air conditioners. All three of them have one thing in common, that's the usage of Freon. Freon is known to create holes in the ozone layer. As a matter of fact, the Patriot Act is with the writer signing his name, waived all environmental laws and policies. So it was all right to release that Freon in the atmosphere. Now you imagine all this is being released from one little centralized area, that much Freon. Then when you go all beyond the Freon, New Orleans was flooded by millions, if not billions, of tons of water that was allowed to fester in this hot sun and turn toxic. We didn't treat this water in our haste to get it out of the city. We just pumped it out. When did we pump it? Back into the most fragile environments. Our lakes, our wetlands, our streams. Nobody's saying anything. We can't go on like this.
It's only ever going to change when the rich people get affected, and the rich people keep distancing themselves. You know, when the likes of these South Pacific islands get flooded, you know, are the directors of Microsoft, Google, Exxon, Shell, are they going to be that bothered? Not until that affects them.
I'm going to tell you this: they classified us as refugees. We were the first example of climate refugees in America. And we see in the way we were treated.
But this is what they want you to talk at the G20, about environmental refugees. That would be a perfect
technical. You have that. But we got to do something. You know, because if we don't, you know, like I said, we don't have another planet we can go on. What are we going to do? My greatest fear right now is that swine flu will turn into a pandemic crisis. Because if it do, you can't tell me that the same people that denied me access to another part of America fleeing a disaster gonna deal with me on an equal basis. You can't tell me this. So again, if we don't do anything, that's what I love about. Because I'm going to tell you, if I would survive this and form common ground with all African Americans, if you would have been doing this interview with me right now, it would have been in Africa. It wouldn't have been here. The only thing giving me hope about staying in this country is the volunteers that have came down, that have said that no, we will not fall into this belief of race. We're going to go and help people because we believe that this is the right thing to do. And that's what we see. Saw it this morning. I saw 400 predominantly white kids come into our African American community to help clean it up. You know what that do to the racial divide? There you go. That's what made common ground so great. That's why it needs to be sued. Because I truly believe that we have a solution. It didn't come from me. It came from people coming together, working as people. If we can do it here, we can do it anywhere. If we can overcome the forces that we had to overcome, we can overcome it anywhere. We didn't have the police looking at us other than as the enemy. We didn't have the army. The army came in here ready to kill us. When they came to raid my house, you know, they came here to kill us. They was told there wasn't any here but black militants. and we was doing all the looting, and I was selling all this ill-gotten gain from the side of my house. The Army, Blackwater Security, and the police, they came here to raid my house. The only reason why they did it is because they seen a set of blacks, they seen whites.
Yeah.
And they thought that they had the wrong address. You know? So again, we was born out. Then to have someone like a Brandon Darby to come in, you know, and not to assist this city, but to literally destroy it. How many people you think call that number that I have or that post I have in my bear from and complain about police corruption? What you think happened to them when he turned that list over to the New Orleans police?
Yeah. They sorted them out.
I know what it did to our environmental program, but right now, if it wasn't for Brandon, New Orleans would be a clean city.
Let me grab these guys, all right? One second. Hey, guys.